Hey Crossroads, my name is Sean, and if you're visiting with us for the very first time, we hope you already feel at home. We know our campus can feel a little bit intimidating in the beginning, so we'd like to share a bit of who we are and what you can expect from our services today. Our worship services last about an hour and 20 minutes. This gives us time to worship together through song, communion, offering, and an applicable message straight from Scripture. We also have kids ministry available during our service for babies through sixth grade. We promise they'll have a blast in kids ministry as you enjoy an hour of uninterrupted worship and teaching. If you've been here with us for a while and you're looking to dig deeper into who we are as a church and how you can get involved, join us for the Growth Track. The Growth Track is comprised of four classes that take place monthly. These classes are offered every weekend at 9 a.m. in the London Institute, and you can jump in at any time. Fill out a connection card in the seat back and turn it into the offering later in our service, and we'll remind you of these classes and answer any questions you might have. Well, as the children's pastor here, I have to say that I'm so excited that we are hosting a two-day parenting conference with Emerson Egrich. Emerson is the author of the book Love and Respect and has his PhD in family ecology. The conference will take place on September 11th and 12th and will provide you with tools to become the parent God has called you to be. Registration is available in the lobby and online through our website now. But today we continue our series, The Power of Words. Crossroads, will you welcome our senior pastor, Chuck Boer?
All right. Hey, and welcome to all of you. And I hope then it's a great day, a great week coming up for you. I hope what we're going to talk about even makes that happen more than ever. Hey, this last week, Pam and I were at Forest Home for a family conference, and it just drove home how important it is that we really have strong families. So I want to encourage you, if you're parents, sign up for this parenting conference with Dr. Egrich. He is so funny. He's going to be so practical. It's just going to be a great time. And he's going to take you through every single passage the Bible says about parenting. Now, if you're not a parent, but you're going to be parents, sign up more than ever. And even grandparents, this would feed into you about how you could even help instill things in your family you want. So we're really realizing that it's a big thing. Today, speaking of family, speaking of all that, today is my wife Pam's birthday today. So praise God for that. So we're going to do a family thing with her and just do great things. And she's such a blessing in my life. And if you get a chance, tell her happy birthday. Let her know that she does matter to you because she loves you guys. And then the other thing I want to tell you real quickly is I'm excited about what we're doing in October. I'm excited about the rest of the Power of Words. Super excited about the marriage parenting. And by the way, I'm scatterbrained. We're going to do something different this year for our marriage series. Pam and I are going to share the stage together. I'm going to have her come out and talk with you quite a bit about that. So I think that'll be really, really good. Then in October, we're going to do spiritual warfare. We're going to talk about how to win that war through the power of the Holy Spirit. So a lot of good things coming up. Let's pray and we'll get ready to dive in. Power of words. Father, I know that what we're about to talk about really does have value and meaning for every person here. And God, I pray we won't miss that. I pray right now your Holy Spirit is with us in such a way that, Lord, there's going to be thoughts that'll come to our mind and things that will happen in our heart to help us be closer to you and to live lives that are better, the life of love and good days. May we experience that. And because of what we're studying now, what we're studying in the coming weeks. So God, help us hang on to these things. Bring it to our mind. Let it be guarded within our heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 12. Make sure you're in Matthew chapter 12. James 3 will be in next. And I want to have you see these scriptures. There was a woman one time who was driving into kind of a quaint little town setting, saw a pet store, and as she was walking by, she saw a puppy in the back she wanted to go see. As she's walking in, there's a parrot in the front of the store, and the parrot looks at her and says, "Lady," and she turns, and the parrot looks at her and says, "Lady, you're ugly." And she's like, "What?" And she goes, "The owner, that parrot just called me ugly." And he goes, "It's never done that before." He goes, "I am so sorry." And he yells at it, "Don't you ever do that again." The next day she's thinking, "I'm going to put that parrot to the test." So she drives down, gets out of her car, walks into the store. Parrot looks right at her and says, "Lady, you're ugly." So she runs and tells the owner, "He did it again." The owner's grabbing the bird, shaking it. "Don't you ever do that again." The next day she thought, "I'm going to test it again." She gets out of her car, walks in the store. The parrot looks at her and says, "Lady, you know." I think that joke is so funny. Here's the thing, though. It's a funny joke, but it's not funny in real life when someone says insulting things. When words that are meant by God to matter so much and give such value in your life return to being detractions and destructive. And you know what? As we need to understand, God actually gave you and I the ability to speak as part of the image of God upon us, that we could speak words of life and words of love and words of grace over people. And God wants you to be that way. And God wants you to also have that done to you. But it's far too often done far too much that it goes the other way. Everybody here, I think, knows what it's like to be yelled at and how it makes you feel. Insults being thrown at you and feeling torn down. Mean statements that are etched in your mind. When someone mocking, and you're like, you're so hurtful. Gossip has wrecked so many lives. Bullying is so real today. And it's gone to a whole new level with cyberbullying. Which, by the way, I want to say this, that's the most cowardly thing ever. Because they won't say it to your face. But they'll put it online. Cussing. Man, the vile words that come, filthy words according to God, that make people feel like a failure, that rob them of their self-worth. Some of you have had this happen, words spoken over you that made you always wrong. No matter what, you're always in the wrong. And these words can be written, they can be texted, they can be spoken, they can be posted. But the bottom line is it hurts, and it causes agony in people. Florida State University released a study that said this. They said, people who were verbally abused as children grow up to be self-critical adults prone to depression and anxiety. They're twice as likely to suffer from mood and anxiety disorders. And the effects of verbal abuse include fear, depression, and then this one they wrote, and I've been thinking a lot about this one, intrusive memories. You know what that means? Words have such power that what happens is, even if they were spoken to you as a child, or maybe in junior high, or a year ago, that something triggers that memory of that word, and all of a sudden you react to it. Matter of fact, one of the things about an intrusive memory, you physically react now how you did back then. You feel now how you felt back then. And what happens is words can do that to us. So the old saying that sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you is not true. And you know, I've seen it happening currently, but I got to tell you, when Pam and I were doing student ministry, it was worse. We would sit with student after student, time after time, who had been the victim of words that had torn into them, often by their parents. More often, though, you're ready, in junior high. Junior high was clearly the worst time ever. And I'll never forget getting a phone call from a mom who said, you got to talk to my daughter. Beautiful eighth grade girl. I mean, she was exceptionally pretty, but she was sitting there and you could just see the depression. You could see the weight upon her. Her hair was falling out. She couldn't sleep at night because a girl in her junior high who was very, very popular would do this. She would pick somebody out to be tormented, and she picked this girl out. If anybody went to eat lunch with her, these girls would surround the table demanding people leave, so she'd sit there isolated and alone. Throughout the day, getting out of the car, her mom dropping her off and walking on the campus, one of the girls or two of the girls would go up and say the most cruel things you could imagine, taunting her and tormenting her. And as I'm listening to this, my first thought is, you got to get her out of this school. And her mom said, it's just not possible. And then we came up with a better solution. It was a good one. We had the students from our church, Christ Church of the Valley, surround her. When she got out of the car, they surrounded her and walked her, and they ate lunch with her, yeah, and backed those girls off. The story gets really good in the fact that my wife Pam was instrumental in leading the mean girl to the Lord, you know, and yeah, which was a praise. And today she's the sweetest person ever, but man, at junior high, she was possessed. And but you know what? There's something you and I know. You ready for this? Okay, ready? Everybody in this room has been verbally abused at some point, haven't we? And then there's another truth that's even tougher to face up to. Get ready. Everybody in this room has verbally abused somebody else. And so what we need to do is we need to ask God what we need to do so we're not those kind of people. And so we are not bound to words that are spoken in our mind. And God doesn't want you to have that happen. But the problem is very often those words get out before you know it. You see, imagine that the toothpaste in this tube are words that you and I say. And so what happens is you're thinking, okay, you know what? And have you ever had this happen where the words are going out and you're like, no, and you can't get them back? See, the thing is, you can't get them back. As they go out from you, then what happens is they're pouring forth and pouring forth. And too many of us, once it started, we just don't stop. And after a while, we're going and going, and we write it again or say it again or bring it back again. And you already know this, that if I tried to take this toothpaste and put it back in the tube, I wouldn't be very successful, would I? I thought I could get a little bit back in, but never how it was. And words have that kind of effect too. You can get it back. There can be healing, but it's not as easy as just saying, I'm sorry. And so what we need to understand are some certain truths that we don't ever want to let go of. So as we get ready to get to those truths, remember this. Jesus said that words reveal your heart. Words reveal your heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either, Jesus said, make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. And then he says this, brood of vipers. Why? Because they were being poisonous and destructive in what they were saying. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, now catch this, for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus said, you know what? The words that are coming out of our mouth are straight from our heart. When someone says, you can't know what's in my heart, the Bible says that's not true. I can know what's in my heart. You can know what's in your heart in two ways, one of which is by what you say, what you write, the words that come out. By the way, other people can know what's in our heart based on what we say. Jesus said, you know, how can you with the evil hearts every now and then speak good things? But the truth is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I can hear what you're saying. I can see what's in your heart. And other people can too. And you need to know it. And say, God never, ever is going to forget what you said. God said, every idle word, every quick phrase, everything we speak out in the moment, God says, that is so true of who you are. That will be held into account for all eternity unless something happens through Jesus Christ and his grace and his blood erasing that sin. So words reveal our heart. Words shape our lives. James chapter 3. Words shape our lives. Verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits in horses' mouths so they obey us, we direct the entire body as well. In other words, you know, the direction of the horse, where it's going, is shaped by what's happening in its mouth. Verse 4, look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. You know what that's saying? Your tongue's really small, but it actually shapes and directs your life. And you and I need to understand that where we are, how we live, get ready for this, what's going to happen tomorrow and in your future is actually determined by how you talk. And so you can do something about that. You and I can grab these truths today and in the coming weeks and have better lives and have a better future and live in a more fulfilled way if we would get this right. So let's talk about four truths that you need to hang on to and I need to hang on to. So get your notes out. I'm going to ask you to write these down and I want you to think about them. And I'm going to ask you at the end of this time to do an inventory on how you speak. But number one, write this down. Words matter. Words matter. Robert Morris, who wrote the book, The Power of Words, has kind of given us a desire to go into this. Robert Morris said a guy walked up to him one day and said, hey, can I speak freely? And Robert Morris said, no. You know, I want you to think about that. You know, this is a country that values freedom of speech. You know, it's one of the beautiful things about our country. But freedom of speech doesn't mean you can say whatever you want to say. And definitely you shouldn't say everything you want to say. You know what? A wise person, a godly person, isn't just going to speak freely. They're going to pray about what they say. They're going to put their mouth in check. And we need to understand that's something that God wants us to do. One time I was in a very intense situation, and man, all of a sudden, it just kept elevating and elevating, and people walked out hurt and mad, even one person in tears. And this one guy had just gone off. And I looked at him, I said, "Why did you do that?" And here's this, he goes, "Well, you know, at least everybody knows where they stand with me." And I said, "Is that a good thing? Is that okay?" You know what, as we need to understand, the words we use matter. And Peter says, this is so big, God wants you to know this, that it really does shape your life. In 1 Peter 3:10, it says, "The one who desires life, to love, and to see good days." Now, you ready for this? Do you desire life? Do you want to know love? And you want to see really good days? Then here's what we need to listen to. Must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. We've got to keep our tongues from evil and our lips from speaking deceit. You see, it is true that you're in the United States and almost all of us here are citizens of the United States, which means you have the right to freedom of speech. But you're a citizen of the kingdom of God too. That's a higher calling, a better calling. And so you know what? You need to have your mouth governed under what the kingdom of God says. See, nations will come and go, but the kingdom of God will last forever. Presidents will come and go, but Jesus Christ is always Lord. So that ought to shape how we act and what we say. And we need to realize that words matter. They really matter. And God holds us into account of those. And so we'll have good lives and good days if we have good words, and bad lives and bad days if we don't. And so the Lord says, know that your words actually matter. Robert Morris, again, who's that pastor in Gateway, Texas, used this illustration that I thought made sense. You know, and by the way, do most of you know that there are counties in Nevada where prostitution's legal? Did you know that? So let's say a man goes from California to Nevada, goes to one of those counties, buys, pays for a prostitute, and then he dies. And Jesus at the judgment looks at him and said, "I'm going to send you to hell for a lot of reasons, but one is prostitution, what you just did." And the guy says, "But Lord, it's legal in Nevada." And the Lord goes, "Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, then it's okay." Does it make it okay? No. Does it make it okay? No, no, no. So by the way, you go, "Well, I got freedom of speech." The Lord goes, "No, that doesn't make it okay. You're held to a higher standard." So think about what it says in Psalm 141, verse 3. "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips." Don't speak too freely. Because why? Those words that come out matter. Psalm 39, verse 1. I said, I love this one. "I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle." Does any of you need a muzzle? Guess what? I need a muzzle. I can't tell you how many times. I've even known what's happened. I know a meeting's going to occur. I already know what it's going to be about. And I know what I shouldn't say. Now catch this. Have you ever done that? You know what you shouldn't say. And I said, "See, Lord, you know what? When I get in this room, I don't want to say this and I don't want to say that." And so that's what, I'm just committed to it. And so what happens? I come walking out of that room. "Lord, I said this and I said that. And I even said more." Have you ever done that? And God's going, "I'd love to muzzle that mouth, Chuck." Some of us need a muzzle. And God said, "I want you to know why. Because those words, when they come out, they can be for good or they can be for bad. But the words will matter. They will matter." Catherine Marshall, who's a very famous author, a strong Christian woman, her husband Peter was a chaplain of the Senate, and he turned the chaplaincy in the Senate into something that really honored Jesus Christ even to this day. And she realized as she was getting older that she started to say a lot of negative things, and after a while she started noticing, "Well, I am pretty negative." So without telling anybody, she made a one-month commitment. Get ready for this. She decided for 1 month she would not say a negative word. And at the end of the month, she had two surprises. Surprise number one, she didn't talk very much. She just realized if she couldn't say something negative, so she didn't talk very much. You ready for the second surprise? Nobody missed her talking. See, words do matter, and if you don't use good ones, people would prefer you didn't speak. It would be better if you didn't anyway. So they matter, so we need to understand that. The second point, write this one down. Words can cost you your future. And I'm serious about this, and I think you're going to agree in a moment. Words can cost you your future. Listen to Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things. Notice not some things, not most things. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. So that in the day of Christ, the judgment day, I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Do you catch how big that is? Paul said, if you can't get your mouth under check, then I will feel like nothing I did ever mattered with you. If you would choose to be a person who does all things without any complaining, any grumbling, any arguing or disputing, then you will shine out as a child of God. You'll prove you're genuinely a Christian. Did you catch that? That's how big this is. When you and I aren't that way, we're so different than the world around us, different than the culture we're in. We shine as lights for God, and it's an incredible effect for good. But you know what? When someone is a grumbler or a complainer, it costs you. One time I had a guy talk to me. He's looking at me and said, well, I'm going to tell you something, but you know what? You're going to say I'm a complainer. I said, then don't say it. He goes, well, you know, all right, I won't say it, but you know what? You just, because I know you'll call me a complainer. I said, yeah, don't say it. He stood there. He's just, he wants it out so bad, you know. I'm like, don't tell me. Don't tell me. One time, a couple years ago, I went to dinner with two pastors I know. And what happened is we're out to dinner, and they're at different churches, and they begin to talk about their churches. Man, they are complaining, complaining, complaining. And they're feeding off each other. And then they're complaining about their senior pastor. And in the midst of all this, one of them stops and turns and says, Chuck, is there any way we could come on staff at Crossroads? And I'm like, no. Aren't you glad I didn't hire him? And then, but we love you. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, seriously, I wouldn't hire those guys, and they're friends. And you know what? It cost them. We have a really good hiring process now. I mean, a really good one. I love it. One of the first things we do when someone applies for a job here, we go check their social media page. Now, some of you go, that's what our workplace does. It's just a common practice. But are you ready for this? There's some people that now will not even get an interview because of what's been on there. And I want to have you think about this. Aren't we right? Because the Bible says those words tell us who they are. It costs them their future. A lot of people have lost jobs because they're complainers. A lot of people have ruined businesses because they're complainers. A lot of people have not gotten a promotion because they're complainers. A lot of marriages are in just horrible places to be because of people's mouthing words. And we need to understand, it costs, it costs, it costs. That's what the Bible says. One time, when I was in a different season of ministry, I did a lot of weddings. And then I would do a lot of premarital counseling. And in one case, I had this couple, and I get a call. Their wedding 2 months away, and I get a call from the bride, and she's crying. He broke up with me. He broke up with me. She goes, I don't know what to do. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, did you see it coming? She said, no. And she goes, would you talk to him? And I said, yeah, I'll give him a call. So I called him up, and we agreed to have coffee, and we sat down, and I said, hey, what happened? He goes, this is your doing, Chuck. I go, my doing? He said, yeah, in premarital counseling in our last session, you told us, you told me that you need to look at the person you have next to you, and that's the person you're marrying. How they are now is who they are. You can't marry them expecting them to change. You got to understand, however they are now is how it's going to be the rest of your life. And he said, in that moment, I thought, oh my gosh, she is so negative. She complains so much. And then I got extra sensitive. We went out to dinner, and she's complaining. And then we went out, and she's complaining. And I laid in bed at night thinking, God, I can't do that for 50 years. So I broke up. And I said, good job, did the right thing, buddy. By the way, did he do the right thing? Oh, yeah, yeah. But my conversation with her was a hard one. So I call her up, and we sit down, and she said, but why? I love him. I said, let me tell you, and I told her. I'll change. I said, too late. Too late. I said, you need to change, but it's too late with him. She goes, but Chuck, I've never met a guy like him before. And she lost him. He ended up marrying a wonderful girl. They have a great family today. I don't know what happened to her. I hope good things. But words can cost you your future. They really can. And by the way, they can cost you your eternity too. Number three, words reflect your heart. Now we're gonna bring this up again and again, but it's that important I'd even write it down again. Words reflect your heart. You see, Jesus is clear, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what happens is we gotta realize whatever's coming out of our mouths really is inside of us. And it's either good things or bad things. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so what happens, I need to understand, when these things are coming out of me, I'm either coming out of life in my heart or death in my heart, a joy in my heart or a curse in my heart. And so they reveal my heart. Now, knowing that, Paul says something to each one of us in Ephesians 5, verse 3. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. Catch this, verse 4. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. He said, did you catch that? He said, you know what? We need to understand that words reflect what's in our hearts. So what's coming out? We got to take a look at ourselves when that happens. And he says, so be really careful about what comes out of your mouth. And I want to center in on two of those things Paul said. The first is filthiness. Filthy talk, cussing. You know what I got to tell you is that I've been around a long time. I've been a pastor a long time. And I've seen things come in waves and then go away. And so we're back in a new one. In the late 80s, all of a sudden it became like a fashionable thing, a popular thing for pastors to cuss. I remember back then, I'm not trying to say I'm perfect, but I thought, what are you guys doing? Man, you're using the words of the world. And just cuss. You know, oh, it was so cool, man. I'm so awesome. I just cuss in front of my church, you know. And we're a church that cusses, you know. It really was true. It's back again. These young guys who I think could do so much, they're buying into it. And one of them not long ago said, well, none of those words are in the Bible. I can use whatever one I want. And I'm like, really? You don't think that God... And you kind of know already those are the kind of things he's talking about. Does God have to have a list? Be a pretty long list, wouldn't it? But what it is, that says what's in our heart. I don't want you to miss this. When Peter was denying Jesus three times, and that girl, that slave girl, looked at him saying, no, you are a follower, you are a follower. Do you know the last thing he did to prove he wasn't? He cussed. He started cussing. He's like, well, then, yeah, I guess you never were with him. See, we need to understand that it reveals our heart, so we don't want to go with the world on that. Then the other is coarse jesting. Coarse jesting. You know what that is, right? That's when you joke at someone else's expense. That's when you cut into somebody so that you can elevate yourself and they get put down. And what happens in that moment is it's demeaning and hurtful. And you and I should never be that way. Never do that. I, as I was getting ready for this sermon, I was just reflecting over times I've seen that occur and how hard and harmful that can be. I'll never forget, we were at a family conference, and there was a junior high boy, and his mother and father were joking about how fat he was. And I was like, oh, could you imagine being a junior high and your parents joke like that? I remember a woman in another setting we were in, and the husband just started mocking her for how lousy a house cleaner and cook and wife she was. You could just see her dying inside. I went to go meet a guy for work one time, or at his work to go to lunch, and I walked in, and he went to introduce me to some coworkers, and all of a sudden, one of the guys just starts tearing into him, joking, and they are laughing away at how inept he is. And here I am standing there meeting him and hearing this about this guy, and you could just see how embarrassed he was. And the Lord says, you know, no coarse jesting. You and I shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't be people who do that. And then when you go, oh, no, we're just kidding. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 26, verse 18. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. You weren't joking. See, the only reason it's funny is because you're using something true. And God says, don't say that. And don't do that. Don't be that way. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Don't fire death, firebrands, and arrows at people. Let me tell you something. I'm not saying we can't kid around and joke around. Matter of fact, I love that. But have you noticed you can joke in a way that builds people up too? Does everybody know that? I mean, we could all cut, but we also could joke in ways that lift people up, that make their spirits soar, that make them feel better. Now, let me be as honest as I can. I think it's harder to do that, and it takes more work. But what if we made a commitment to only speak words of life and only give joy in that moment and joke in good ways and not bad ways? And then what would happen, God says, is you would have a better life, but better than that, you would have a better heart. You'd have a way, way, way better heart. So God wants you to grab that. Which brings us to number four. Number four, this is a good one. Get ready to write this down. Words last. Words last. See, the lie is, well, I said it and they're gone. Nope, they're not gone. The Bible says God keeps track of every single word for all eternity. So you can't say that it's gone. Every idle word, everything you ever say, God has it recorded somewhere. But what we also know is this is true. That often and more often than not, the people you say those words around remember it. It's put inside their brain. It's actually for, you ready for this? Do you know physically it's hardwired in your brain? Like if they were doing neurosurgery on you and touched that area of the brain, out would come that memory. And we need to understand those words do last. And so Jesus tells us something. We need to be careful about that because God does want you to give account. And so we need to be people who say, that's not who I'm going to be. And so what we need to do is we need to say, God, give us a good heart so I only speak good words. And then the other, don't miss this one. God, these words that have been attacking me, there, some verbal abuse, some of you in here statistically, some of you in here have been verbally abused so badly, it still has power in your life. You need to get that free and get that cleansed and get that freedom from God. And those of you who are in this room statistically, there's quite a few of you that you are the ones who do that. You need to get a new heart. Because here's the good news. When you speak words of life, it matters. When you speak words of encouragement, it lifts people up because those words can last too. I'll never forget, I was in a setting with a bunch of us, and we're all talking, and all of a sudden, one of the young fathers in the group, he said, hey, I want to say something, and we're like, oh, okay, and he said, Chuck, you're the first man who ever told me he was proud of me, and he started to cry, and I was like, oh, those words mattered that much to him. By the way, if you're a dad, those words matter that much to your kids. Dads, get your sons and look them in the eye and tell you you're proud of them. By the way, last hour, William, one of the men here, he just said, Chuck, I hope you're not mad at me. That meant so much, I went ahead and texted. Some of you ought to get out the phone and text right now. Look them in the eye. Find reasons to build them up. Say good things to them. Let them know they can scale great heights. Let them know you see potential in them. Look for it. Mark it and say it. By the way, I'm going to say this one. I think dad speaking to your sons matters. You ready for this? Speak to your daughters. You love on your daughter. You speak words of life in your daughter. You lift her up. You make her know how special she is. And you make sure that no other guy can take that away from her. You know, speak that way to her. Yeah. We need to be people who understand that there's power in our words to lift people up, power in our words to cause them to be able to overcome or to make it through. And God says, that's what I gave you those words for, so you can cause life inside of people. There's a man who wrote an article about this. He's a seminary professor, and he and his wife were on vacation, and they were traveling in the state of Tennessee. They saw this really cool, like, diner, like, house, really quaint. They said, let's go in there and eat. And so they got out of the car, went in, they're sitting at their table. And while they're sitting there, all of a sudden, the whole place lights up as a man enters the room. They have no clue who he is, but everybody else knows who he is. And he's walking from table to table, shaking hands and making people laugh. And he gets over to them and he says, "Hey, you guys aren't from around here, are you?" And they said, "No." He goes, "Where are you from?" And they said, "We're from California." And he goes, "Well, what do you do?" And the guy goes, "Well, I'm a professor at a seminary." And the man looked at him and said, "Hey, wow, you train young preachers?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you have time for me to tell you a story?" And he said, "Yeah, have a seat." So he sits down, and this man looks, says, "See out that window, see that mountain over there? Years ago, this whole town was just at that mountain before it ever expanded. And back then, it was a small little town, and everybody knew everybody. And there was a young boy in that town who was born illegitimately. And in those days, that was a burden to bear. And he said he got attacked constantly. The kids would make fun of him. He didn't know what it was like to have a dad. And the way the children, the other boys, would treat him, they just thought it was so funny to run up and point at him and say, "Who's your daddy?" And just laugh and laugh. And then a new pastor came to town. And he loved the Lord and he preached awesome sermons. The church started to grow. And that young boy, his favorite thing to do was to come on Sundays and sit in the second row, just listening to this pastor preach. And after one Sunday service, everybody went outside in the courtyard and they're all talking. And the pastor sees the young guy and he points at him and says, "Son, I want to tell you something. You are a joy to preach to. The way you sit there, the way you take notes, man, you make my life so good. I want to ask you a question. Who's your dad?" And it went silent. And the pastor caught it. He said, "Come here. I'm going to tell you the answer to what I just asked you, and I want you to never forget it. Next time someone says, 'Who's your dad?' your answer is, 'God's my dad. God's my Abba Father.'" Yeah. And you tell everybody who asks that question, "God's my dad, and he has an incredible plan for my life, and I'm going to do great things." He said, "Son, you're going to do great things." And the man sitting at the table said, "That pastor made the biggest difference in my life. I'm that young boy." And he got up to walk out, and the waitress walked over and said, "Do you know who you were talking to?" And they said, "No." He goes, "That's Governor Ben Hooper. He's the governor of the state of Tennessee." Yeah, and then he went on to be the governor. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. You see, you can lift people up, and God wants to lift you up. So I'm going to challenge you to do something. I want you to actually go and do an inventory of how you speak. I'd like you to do it personally, but I'd also like you to do something else. Take the risk and sit with people and ask them, "How am I? Do I give words of life? Can you help me do that better? Is there times that I need to be far more careful than I am? Could we have an agreement? We're going to work on this together." And you know what? As you do that, I think you're going to find something incredible occurring. Your life's going to get better. But let me say this, that the best way to have that happen, as a matter of fact, not the best, the only way for you and I to have words of life is not to have a change of mind. We got to have a change of heart. You can't change your heart. Only God can change your heart. But God wants to change your heart. And so if you right now are someone, you already know, man, you have hurt people. And maybe you've done it a lot. Some of you have made people live in fear of what's going to come out of you. That's not okay. But God loves you. God can change you. God will make the difference. And so right now, if you're someone who you are making other people victims of what you do, then I want to ask you to do this. Would you right now have a time where you would repent before the Lord? And the word repent, if you're brand new, is one of the most beautiful words in all the Bible. The word repent means you can change. God will change you. And you just say to God, "I want to give my life to you." Maybe you're a husband here and you've just been wrecking your wife. Would you go before God today and repent? Maybe you're a wife and you've done it to your husband. He's just almost done with you. Would you go before God and repent? Maybe your kids need it. They need a loving person. Would you go before God and repent? You know, right now, just let God change you. And if you would open up to him, he will. And if you're brand new here, let me tell you, it's about having a very real relationship with God. He had Jesus die on the cross because he loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to cleanse you, but he also wants to change you. He doesn't want you to walk out and be the same person. So what we don't want you to do, I didn't share these words so you'd walk out of here feeling guilty. I shared these words so you would know the love of God and walk out different and changed. And how do you do that? The Bible says it comes with words. You pray a prayer. You tell God you want it. You open up to him. And so I'm going to ask you, and we go to a time of prayer right now. If you're ready to have a change of heart, you're ready to have God make something different inside you, would you pray this prayer with me right where you're sitting? Whisper it and say to God, I want this. If you're here and you're a person who's been the victim of vile words, hurtful speech, verbal abuse, and you need to be freed from the toll it takes. You need to have the power of those words gone. There's only one way that's going to occur, and it's this. Ask God to put the Holy Spirit on you and give you healing. Ask God to put his Spirit upon you and make you new and alive and not allow that to have any power in your life anymore. And so I'm going to ask you, if that's you today and you need God's cleansing, you need God's forgiveness, right now, would you do that? Maybe you're here and you entered a marriage you thought would be good and it went so bad and so wrong. And day after day, month after month, year after year, you just finally couldn't take the pounding anymore of those words. And you're sitting here still hurting from it. Would you pray this prayer and find God's healing touch? Maybe it was while you were growing up. Man, your mom or your dad or both just, they went after you. Maybe as a brother or sister, you need to be healed from that. Would you pray the prayer and ask God to create something new inside you? So right now, I'm just going to ask that God does some great things. And if you love God, I'm going to ask you to pray for people who need to find his love and find his healing and find his transformation. So get ready to pray for that. Now, what we're going to do is go to a time of prayer, and we're going to invite you in a moment to pray that prayer to say, God, give me a new heart. Or give me healing or cause life to be inside me and let you commit yourself to the Lord. And for some of you, it's a recommitment to God. You're a Christian, but you need to recommit. Then after we pray the prayer, the Bible tells us this, that you need to privately make this commitment to God. But the next step after you pray a prayer that is that meaningful, that matters that much, you got to do something about it. You got to make it public. You got to let it be known. And there really is a powerful reason why you should do this. But here's what you need to do. After we pray the prayer, I'm going to ask everybody here to stand and to sing. And I'm going to ask all of you who said yes to God to make your way to an aisle or to the stairs. And by the way, people would love to let you out. Don't feel like you're bothering anybody, man. We're excited for you. And we're going to ask you to make your way to the stairs or the aisles and walk down one of these aisles. Let us greet you. And then head in this room we call the living room, where we're going to celebrate life and we're going to cheer you on and we're going to write down this day and mark it as special. And we want to share some things with you to help you know how to even grow more in the Lord. Words of life will be spoken to you in the living room. And if you need a Bible, we're going to give you a Bible. But something happens when you step out. It's scary. It's not easy to do. I know for some of you, you think, man, it's a little bit embarrassing. Others of you, I just don't know. I'm not a people person that way. But something happens when you do it. When you step out and make that walk, you and God connect in a deeper way. So I'm going to tell you, it really, really, something will occur that you can't have without it. A week ago, a guy came up to me and said, you know, Chuck, I prayed the prayer. I just couldn't make the walk. And I'm like, man, I want you to do this for you. Please understand it. It's not for me. It's not for us. We're going to cheer you on. You'll bless us, but we want this for you. So do it. Make the walk. And if you want, you can grab someone's hand and say, come with me. But no matter what, if you step out, you and God will do this together. So let's pray right now and ask God to move. Father, I want to pray and ask that your Holy Spirit would really, truly work on people right now. God, I pray your Spirit's touching people. People who need to be freed from the ways they speak, from the future that it's shaping in not a good way, for people they've hurt. God, right now, I pray there would just be a stirring and a moving so you could just call those people, Lord, to having new hearts and being different people. And then, Lord, beginning to guide them in healing in their lives or giving them a new plan, a new way to go that no longer is according to the old way. So God, I want to pray right now, there's going to be a touch on a man who needs it right now. And he's actually going to call out to you and he's going to beg for this. And he's a man who's sitting here and he had verbal abuse in his life and then he's given it to someone else and he's repeated the cycle. But now it's time to break it, Lord, by the power of your Spirit and the blood of Jesus upon him. Father, I want to pray for someone who's sitting here today and his parents made him sit in a particular chair where they just gave it to him and gave it to him. And it was so hard. And there's times he remembers back to that, Lord, and he needs to be set free from it. Father, I do pray for that person who's here that they got married hoping for so much more, but it's been a long time since they felt love, felt like they used to, felt excitement and joy. I pray they're going to know, Lord, your love right now upon them and they're going to come. So, Lord, I pray for every person who needs to say yes to you for the first time or they need to recommit or they need that change of heart or, Lord, they need that healing touch and they're going to walk out of here free. God, I pray it's going to happen. Right now, while we're still praying, I want to give you a chance to say yes to God. And if you're ready to open up to him, if you're ready to commit to him, ready to find his touch, pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I know you love me. And I know you died on the cross to forgive me and to cleanse me from all my sin. Then catch this next line. To heal me from hurt and from pain. To free me from anything that would hold me down or hold me back. Then say these words. Say, I know you want me to be yours and you want me to be alive and you want me to be brand new. So I say yes. Yes, I want you and yes, I want the life you have for me. So I open my heart to you. Please fill me with your love and fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me completely yours. For this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And amen, amen, amen if you prayed that prayer. Amen if you prayed that prayer.